I've got this guy that talks about proximity as power. And I said, well, it is to a degree, but if I'm sitting next to the president of a country and I never engage in a conversation, if I don't build rapport, if I don't build credibility, it doesn't matter that I'm sitting right next to him.
Yeah.
Period. But if I start to go through that process.
Proximity plus connection. Yeah.
So you need to have that and be very consciously aware of it.
You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is your seat at the table. Today, let's join Roland as he talks about networking with Mark Anthony Bates. Mark Anthony is an international entrepreneur renowned for his ability to connect people. In fact, he's been called the influencer of influencers. In today's episode, you'll learn tips and tricks on how to connect with people you'd normally be intimidated to approach and what you should say to them. Also, Mark reveals how you can justify paying for that first-class plane ticket.
Hey, this is Roland Frazier, and I'm here with my good friend Mark Anthony Bates, also known as The Mark Anthony. And we are at a conference. We just finished our business lunch, and we're at our war room meeting where we have a meeting with 165 of our closest friends. Business is doing from anywhere from a couple million dollars a year all the way up to over a billion. And we were talking about networking, and I consider myself to not be a wonderful networker because I'm kind of an introverted person. I like to talk to people, but I'm much better one-on-one. And Mark and I were talking about, like, when you're at one of these things, how do you connect with people when you're like me and a lot of folks that might be listening and you're a little bit introverted? And, you know, if there's a bunch of people in the room, I'm just going to kind of be the wallflower off to the side. Mark was talking about some really cool things that he does, because Mark is probably the most connected guy I know, much more connected even than a guy we know and love called The Connector. So we were laughing about that, but it's fun to watch Mark connect with almost anybody. I've watched him meet people cold. I watched him walk up to Sofia Vergara at a Beverly Hills Peninsula and actually strike up a conversation and not be thrown out. Mark, what is the magic that you do that makes that happen?
Just be curious. Seriously. I mean, if you're curious about what people do, and if you can genuinely come without having an expectation and just let it evolve organically, and in that being curious and asking thoughtful questions, you know, there's a saying that we have two ears and one mouth for a reason, and that's to listen twice as much as we talk. That was a long lesson for me. It took me a long time. I wanted to talk a lot more because I felt I needed to impress people. And what I found was the less I spoke, the more interesting people thought I was.
I got that from Benjamin Franklin's autobiography. It's like the more you let someone talk about themselves, the more interesting you appear to be to them. But for me, I'm at one of these events and people are gathered around those little kind of high tables, and they're all in their groups. And I feel like I'm intruding if I go in. Now, I watched you go into an almost like an interview thing that Vergara and somebody from one of the magazines was having, but you don't ever seem to be interrupting. How does somebody get the guts to do that? And then what do you do if they aren't happy with you going in and they say, get the heck out?
Well, I have to let you know when that happens, because it hasn't happened yet.
All right, fair enough.
I think people overthink it too much. At times, I think that they go through the process and they talk themselves out of doing things like that, that they're afraid that they're going to say the wrong thing, or what if they don't, what if they're not accepted? What if they do say, you know, you're a stalker, get away from me. The thing that's important is that when people go to, especially celebrities, they're used to people coming up and barging in or wanting an autograph or something. And, we need to treat them like they're family, and that, you know, to be respectful, but at the same time, excusing yourself, you know? And this is interesting. I have people come up all the time at Roland. I know you do this too. You go, I don't mean to interrupt, but no, you absolutely meant to interrupt. That's why you did it. But if you say, excuse me for interrupting, you know, excuse me for this, but, you know, I just wanted to share something. Like with Sophia, you remember, that was so funny because we were literally talking about her 2 or 3 minutes before, we wanted to do a project in Mexico, and we said we want, you know, we were dealing with the celebrity group, and we were saying we need a Sofia Vergara type person. And within minutes, she comes walking by, and Perry's, you know, our friend is sitting across the way, and his mouth dropped, stopped talking, and we're going, what's wrong with you? And it was her. And all I said to Perry at the time, I said, you want to meet her? And he's going, you can't meet her. And I said, sure you can. And I'll tell you, it was a simple approach with her. I went up there and I was sincere and authentic, and I didn't want anything from her. I just said, hey, forgive me for interrupting, but I thought I'd share something with you. It was kind of cool and unique that you might appreciate. And we were just talking about you. And she said, was it bad? And
I go, no. Did she say that?
Yeah, she
That's
did.
That's so funny.
I said, no, of course not. And I said, but we were just talking about the type of person and personality and style that has this, you know, that's a way that has a way with people of attracting them and influencing them and making them feel good about themselves. And that you came up. And I said, and then all of a sudden you came walking by and I thought I'd share that. And she goes, I'm so, that is so cool. I'm so happy you came over to me and shared that because, you know, most people wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she was being interviewed for a magazine.
Is it Vogue or something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah. But it was just, you know, so she was very, very open. And we have a war room member, which I won't mention her name, who's from the same country that, you know, she just says, eh. But that hasn't been my experience. And I find a lot of celebrities, if you treat them with respect, but also as they're an equal, you know, because we put them up on this pedestal. A lot of people do that. And then it gets awkward. And, you know, a lot of them, they don't want to be that. I mean, Roland, you know what? I'm going to say this about you. You have elevated your status throughout the years where people kind of look at you like, oh, my God, I could never talk to him or, you know, this. And you're just, you know, I go, Roland.
Very, very, very small group of people.
That's not true because I'm on the other side of that. And people aren't aware of that. And they're talking about that. And they go, you know Roland Frazier? It's just Roland. You know,
and that's probably what Sophia and everybody else's people say about them.
People overthink things.
Okay, so you're one of our listeners and you're not the Mark Anthony amazing networker type guy. What's a strategy? What's something that people could challenge themselves with in the next hour or day to do to connect with somebody that might otherwise be scary for them to connect with?
Well, I think the first thing, and this was something that was interesting a few years ago, that I was looking for influencers that I don't know. You know, how do you connect with them? I reached out to them on Facebook. And what I did is I told a story. And I told a story that was self-deprecating for me. But it kind of like said, hey, we never met before. I don't really have an agenda. I said, if you listen to what some people say about me, they'll tell you that I walk on water, that I can, you know, leap tall buildings in a single bound, and that I can spin lead to gold. I said, so, but let me share with you a little bit. I tried walking on water the other day in the pool and sank 12 feet straight to the bottom. I tried leaping over, you know, a two-story building and I broke my nose. And I just tried spinning lead to gold and I got back from my doctors. He says, I now have acute lead poisoning. You know, so none of those are true. But what I can do is I'm really good at these things and I don't have an expectation. I'm not looking for anything from you. But I wanted to reach out to you and just see if there was a way to connect, maybe just for coffee or tea. No expectations. And then, you know, who knows what might happen from that. And the guy responded immediately, you know, and he just said, you know, that's, nobody's approached me like that. I made him laugh. And if you can make people laugh, there's also, I mean, if you look at it from the psychological and physiological aspect of when we make people laugh, funny is money.
Right.
There's a reason for that.
Yep.
And we laugh from our diaphragm, which increases our oxygen flow, which also throws off a bunch of chemicals in the brain. And when we laugh and people help us to facilitate that laughter, we feel good about them.
I like the self-deprecating story. I like the, like, you can make them laugh at you laughing at yourself.
Right.
Then the walls come down a bit and you have more of a chance to connect. Because I mean, if you've got something to offer, I find most people are open and willing to have a discussion. So it's just getting past your own mental blocks about that initial connection that you have to get past. And you've got some good ways to do it, including I'd like for you to reveal your big question that you ask and how you work on airplanes and why people should fly first class before we stop. But yeah, I think that's it, is just having some value. One thing that I have found, because I am not as good at that as walking up to people cold as you are by any means, is A, it's good to have a friend like Mark Anthony if you're not good at this. So think about that as a strategy. You probably know somebody who's a great networker who can help connect you, because you've helped connect me to, you know, a ton of people. But also for me, I look for pre-existing channels of access that have been created. So if you want to get to connect with someone, let's say you just heard a great speaker and you want to connect with them. I don't ever run up after they've just gotten off the stage and try to talk with them with the other 36 people that are up there. I look for any usually paid channel of access. So if they've got the ability to be hired as a speaker or consulting or something like that, I'll approach them about that and try to say, I want to hire you for that, or what's your speaker fee? I'll pay it so that we can have some time together to talk about things that we might be able to do or how we might be able to work together. And I find that to be really good. And for me, as more of an introverted person, it's more comfortable, more safe than putting myself out there like you do. So that might be a strategy that people could consider as well?
Well, I think it's very strategic what you do on that. And I've watched you go through that, and I've watched you go through the process of not only hiring them, but you kind of go through some of the same things I do. You know, what's your biggest need? What can we
always
help support
lead
you
with,
right?
What can I help you with? Sincerely, yeah.
Yeah, and sincerely, without an expectation of something from them in return. I mean, we all know the law of reciprocity, and yes, it comes into play. But if you're not using that for the reason why you want to connect with somebody, it's a big difference. And Roland, so many times when you and I've been together, and no matter who you're meeting, I see you ask that question. What do you need help with? What do you need support with?
And when you ask it, because I've watched lots of people and heard lots of people ask me that, but their mind is a million miles away thinking about already how they're going to ask for the next thing they want.
Exactly.
I think you have to mean it and also act on it right away. So frequently I'll say, hang on a minute. They'll say, I want to meet somebody. I'll say, I can connect you. But then I say, hang on a minute. I'm going to do that right now, because if I don't do it right now, I'm going to forget and it'll never happen. And that, I think that changes frames of reference a lot, because a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people just glad hand. It's an empty promise to help them out. And if they see you actually doing it, and then you're connected to that person, you know, they're connected to that person on the phone while you're there, that's a big deal. And you know who else does a great job of it is Joe Polish.
He
does it video. He'll pull out the phone and take a video. Hey, this is Joe. Right. I'm here with Bob, and I'm going to connect you with Mark. And that's, I think that sincerity in terms of action proof, like proof of the action that you're going to take to help them,
right,
goes a long ways as
well. And you just shared a key distinction. You act on it right away. You're much better at that than I am, because sometimes I'll sit there and I'll have the intention and I'll put it in, and then things get in the way. And I think it's really important what you said, that if you do that immediately right in front of them and that connection happens, it's huge, because your actions are following what your words and what your ask was to them to be able to help support them.
So let's get to the challenge that I want to put out for everyone who's listening to actually take action. What is the strategy? What would you say to the shy people who are listening, who are interested in meeting someone that they would like to connect with? What's the challenge to them to get them to get outside their comfort zone and make this happen in a way that you think would give them the best chance of success?
Well, I think the first thing that they want to do is they want to do it consistently and just practice it. If they keep doing it over and over, they'll get really comfortable with it, especially if they're doing it with people that there's little risk involved. And if they start doing it small and then they build that up.
So I'm looking for a specific, you and I are out right now, and you're my wingman for getting connected to Ryan Dice, who I've always wanted to meet because he's kind of a big deal. And I say, you know, oh, Mark, that's Ryan. That was a great presentation he gave. I'd like to get to know him. What would you tell me to do? Because I'd like to give people some actionable thing.
Well, I think you brought it up already. You talk about being in a relationship with the influencer or the influencer of influencers. So in that respect, you know, who do you know that knows the person? So I believe that we're all just about 2 degrees of separation, or maybe 3 degrees at the most. So identifying somebody that has not only that knows them, but that has rapport with them. Because number one, it doesn't matter if I know somebody and they don't know me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the first thing. And you have a lot of people that talk about, oh, I know this person. And if you were to ask that person, they go, I have no idea who that person is. But if you're going to do something for the influencer first, too. Be able to go ahead and offer something to them to be of support and go, look, I don't want anything from Ryan over there. I love what he just shared. Would you mind doing an introduction for me? Mm-hmm. You know, and then that has to be in a way that makes it where Ryan's curious about you.
Yeah.
You know, but if I have that relationship, that rapport with Ryan and trust, Ryan's going to be open to that. Just like when I introduce people to you, you trust me that I'm going to introduce you to somebody that's not going to waste your time. Not,
sure.
Not that it hasn't happened before, but,
right.
you know, yeah. And that happens. But, you know, it's just a matter of doing that. It's the whole thing of forcing yourself out. Roland, years ago, you and I used to be on the stage together. But, mm-hmm. you know, I remember exactly the day when I said, now you're doing this one on your own. And you've taken it from there, and you are so dynamic on there. So,
I was terrified because you abandoned me on the stage.
But to watch how, and we just talked about this today, how you have evolved from that. Well, that evolution didn't happen because overnight you just all of a sudden felt like you could do it. It was doing it and practicing it and being willing to go ahead and fall down 8 times and get up 9.
So look for someone who can introduce you, lead with value.
Right. Always lead with value.
Before you ask. And that's kind of, and then repeat enough times that you get better at it or get over your fears.
It doesn't make you an extrovert. It makes you, you're still an introvert,
right?
But you're putting yourself in a position where you're becoming more confident and competent on how you do it.
What are you afraid of when you meet somebody?
Oh my God.
When you meet somebody, when you're somebody like that you're walking up to? Is there any fear at all
no.
in you?
It's either I'm too dumb to recognize that there should be fear.
Okay.
But again, I don't put an expectation. I don't project what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I go in there with genuine curiosity that I go, I wonder what's going to happen by meeting this person and the interaction. And I'm always really amazed and fun, because if I start thinking about rejection, or if I think about that something's going to go bad, or that they're not going to like something I say, or that I'm going to be a fool, I will talk myself out, or I will actually commit that act.
Okay.
So I don't think about that. But the thing that we were talking about, like, and you know, for how do you connect with people that are, you know, CEOs of companies, or like when we were together with that one guy from Oracle, mm-hmm. was it?
Yeah.
You know, and that the last thing when you and I finished, and I said, is there anything, you know, that I can help support you with? He goes, yeah, you have any connections to the president of Brazil? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
but it's even you, when you tell me I'm the most connected person, I still have a hard time, you know, figuring that out. But you'll go, well, okay, who do you know that? And I go, well, that's so-and-so. And I
right.
go, you know, so, but the point of this
you
is—
You and Kevin Bacon. Just,
yeah, exactly. But like, we're talking about flying first class.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up sitting there like with Denzel Washington's best friend, or the CFO of Virgin Mobile, or the, you know, now
NAR.
President of NAR,
yeah.
of you know,
National Association of Realtors.
But it always goes from one thing. First thing that I do is just, I'm polite. I listen, I build rapport. Second thing is that when they ask me questions about me, I need to build credibility, you know, as an authority figure, understanding something that they don't know about. And then the third thing I do is I ask them, what's your biggest challenge? And when I ask them that challenge, it's now refocused it about them. And then when they go into what that focus is, I begin to turn up that focus, the pain, and I'll start twisting it and mm-hmm. then throw salt on it, because I can ask them in words to get them to really pay attention to how painful it is, because they've been suppressing it, or they didn't realize how bad
right.
the situation was.
Right.
And then I do a thing I call, if I could, would you? If I could provide a way that we can go ahead and take that pain or make that, you know, that thing go away, would you be open to discussing further how we could make that happen?
Right.
And that's pretty simple with them, because it happens every time. But where do the, you know, the thing that I think that a lot of the audience needs to pay attention to are, where are the people that they need to connect with? Where is that proximity? So, you know, I was telling Darren earlier, I've got this guy that talks about proximity as power. And I said, well, it is to a degree, but if I'm sitting next to the president of a country and I never engage in a conversation, if I don't build rapport, if I don't build credibility, it doesn't matter that I'm sitting right next to him.
Yeah.
Period. But if I start to go through that process again,
proximity plus connection. Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to have that and be very consciously aware of it.
Why should everybody upgrade to first class then, even if they aren't a spoiled princess like you and me?
Well, as you know, domestically, the food's not any better than it is in the bag. Sometimes I've ordered the food from
the
bag.
Sometimes the space isn't much better either.
You know, but it's comfortable. I think for me, it is about that being close to influencers or people that are making things happen. Because the reality is, it doesn't mean that there aren't people, you know, in economy that are doing things that aren't significant. But the likelihood of running into an influencer or being around somebody that's got that sort of power or influence that you would like to connect with is they're going to be up front. And there's a lot of easier ways to get that. You know, I don't like spending a lot of money to go up and be, not like you, you know, in first class. But there are ways that, like, if you, like I tell people, sign up for every frequent flyer program that there is.
Yeah.
Get the credit cards that build up your miles.
Run all your business expenses through the credit cards to get the miles.
Because now you're up front. And so immediately, one of the first things that people that are up front in first class think, well, if you're up front, you must be something or doing something, or you're willing to spend money, you know, and that's
social proof credibility
exactly,
kind of thing going
right
on.
Off the bat. Mm-hmm. And so even if you're not at that level, and that's a really key distinction too, is no one ever look at somebody as being better than you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're human. They want to be treated that way.
And I'll add to that, or not as good, because to me, I believe you can learn something from everyone, anyone. So you're not better than anybody. Nobody's better than you. We're all here on this planet. We all go out the same way.
Well, and it's amazing how many people, any of those guys that I just mentioned, the president of NAR, mm-hmm. the CFO of Virgin, you know, if you throw a couple of questions out at them, they're so used to doing things one way or certain ways. And so when you throw in a unique twist, a different way of looking at something, or getting them to think about something they never thought about, opening up their mind, all of a sudden they're very curious about you.
Right.
And what else can happen from that?
Two more questions. Favorite place you've ever been on the planet?
Oh, God. That's a tough one. I mean, it depends on what I'm there for. People always ask me, what's your favorite city or country to go to? And I go, well, am I there for the food?
What's the first thing that comes in your mind? One of the coolest experiences you've ever had. How about that? Doesn't have to be your favorite place.
This would be something nobody would think about. Siberia.
Right.
You know, Russia.
All right. Siberia, Russia. Why? Yeah.
Because when I was there years ago doing some business, and the people that I was there with said, yeah, everybody needs to travel in packs. This was in Magadan, Russia. It's where the gulags were.
Okay.
And they had just
gulags,
opened.
Gulags, that macaroni with
exactly.
beef thing, right?
Yeah.
Gulags are prisons,
but it was,
right?
Yeah, it was the uranium mines that they would put the political dissidents and criminals to go mine uranium. And the average lifespan was 90 days because of the exposure of radiation. So they were trying to keep people away from that. So when they opened up Magadan, and we stayed, by the way, at the former KGB headquarters. They converted it into a hotel.
Nice.
But I wanted to explore the area. That's the other thing. When I say about being curious, explore. Go see how people live, not just where everybody else goes and the tourists. And I know you're that way, too. Mm-hmm. So there was a village up on the hill, and they tried to tell us not to separate. And I said, no, I'm going up to that village. I said, you guys want to go? And they go, no. You can't do that. And I said, sure, I can. So I hiked up the hill and I went to this village and I found this really cool place that was like a house, but you know, it was like a gift shop. And the way they had everything outside, this really cool art and everything else. And I went inside and I started picking things up and looking at it. And next thing you know, this woman comes around the corner and she starts screaming. And I'm going, Jesus Christ, what happened? And then a man comes around the corner with a large metal rod and he starts yelling at me in Russian. I realized at that moment I was in somebody's house. It wasn't just a cool gift shop. And here's the thing that's really interesting, though. What do you do from that? There was nowhere for me to run. I was backed in a corner from when this guy came out with the metal rod. And so immediately I had to start doing hand gestures of, you know, if you could see me banging my head right now.
So like, you were telling him to hit you in the head with the
exactly,
rod, obviously.
Yeah. But I'm going, idiot, no, oh my God, you know. And the guy's looking, and at first he's baffled, and all of a sudden he realizes, this guy's an idiot. He's a tourist. He just showed up in our house, and he stopped, and he finally got it. And I go, American, no Russian. And he sat me down in a seat. He sat next to me, and he had his wife. It was the first time I'd ever had pierogies, and so she brought pierogies out. And he would pick up something, and he would say it in Russian, and he wanted me to say it in English.
Mm.
He'd pick up a glass, and he'd say what it was.
Nice.
He'd pick up a spoon, and he'd say what it was, and then I would say spoon.
Okay.
Spoon. So that was the experience. And the whole point of that is about being curious, not being afraid to go ahead and explore and go into unknown territories, but also realize you don't have to know the language to connect.
Right.
You just don't have to. So stop. If you don't speak the language, if you don't understand it, but the one thing you do want to know is people should learn the culture of other cultures. Because even in areas where they speak English, like Singapore, it's not our English.
Yeah.
Even Australia.
Yeah.
Even in the UK, it's not. And if you think that you're the arrogant American that goes there and you immediately can just say, well, they all speak English. It's their first language. Get to learn about that language. Get to learn about their culture. Get to learn about those things in their life. Okay. Learn things that they don't even know.
So best experience you recommend for people, go to Siberia, break into the home of a Russian that you don't know while not speaking the language. And, I mean, it should all work out.
Yeah, just make sure the last name's not Putin.
Last thing is... favorite travel hack. I'm a travel hacking kind of guy. You are good at upgrades. You're good at travel. You're good at all the plane stuff. What's one you would recommend for people to improve their travel joy?
I used to be the top guy for getting the upgrades all the time until you started getting the really, really mega upgrades. And so I started going, I don't post this anymore. But here's what I will say. When you talk about people being people and just wanting to be treated with respect and if you, when you go to the hotel, what I do, the first thing I do is if there's a line, most of the time I'm in the
you've told me this, and this is actually really cool.
Yeah, and I will sit there. Number one, I will not walk right up to the person there especially because everybody most people just jump right up there, and there's no space, there's no breathing room.
So the person, you're in a line.
I'm in a line.
The person at the desk has just finished with a guest.
With a guest, and then somebody, and the next guest will just jump right there to fill the void.
And you give them time to
I sit there for a second, and they look at me, and they go, you can come up. And I go, no, I'm just giving you a little space. I'm giving you a moment to breathe. I understand what it's like.
So you start with a gift, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And then the next thing is when I come up is that I sit there, and I ask them, I go, has anyone told you lately that you're appreciated? Because you are. And that blows them away most of the time. Now, I don't do that with any intent of wanting anything. It's a genuine thing because people don't hear it.
Yep.
But the next thing you know, I'm in a presidential suite or I'm in a penthouse. Because if they have the inventory and they can do something because somebody respected them genuinely and looked them in the eye and come from the heart and just say that. And I always tell them when they try to give me something, I go, no. I didn't do it for something. I just wanted to go ahead and share that you have respect. And they go, I know. I feel that. I get it.
Yeah.
And I had that at the car rental companies all the time. I get my upgrades. And I was one time, Garrett Gunderson's going to be speaking at your war room. Yeah, and I went over there to see him. And I had a car rented. And I did that for the guy. And the guy goes, and I said that, has anyone told you lately that you're appreciated? Because you are. And he goes, no. And I'm going to do something I've never done before either. I've never heard that. And I'm going to do some. Do you want the brand new Corvette convertible or do you want the Maserati?
Nice.
I said, what color is the Corvette? He said, yellow. I said, what color is the Maserati? He said, black. I said, take the Maserati. But awesome. I mean, it's so simple. I don't want people to do that for reasons of manipulation. It's just that it's amazing if you just stop and get out of yourself for a moment and just think about what it's like and empathize with the person that's on the other side of that counter. No matter what level you're at, they're a human being.
It's a huge deal. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And if people wanted to find out more about the Mark Anthony, what would be the best way for them to do that?
They probably have to go to my Facebook page because there's no website, no business cards, no promotion.
Right.
Mark Anthony Bates.
All right.
Although I think I'm full, but I'll go ahead and open it up for a little bit just for friends of Roland's.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. For more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.